take Luke's Gospel, please. Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. Verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now come down a little further, and in verse 25, Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 29 is what he said. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Now in verse 36 we meet another person. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Manasseh. She was of a great age, and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and so on. Down to verse 38. She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, our final reading is referring to the Lord himself down in verse number 48. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. That's what we'll read of the Lord himself. We've read four statements regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, one made by himself. And I want to just think of these moments tonight in regard to the gospel. We heard from the angel and the heavenly host regarding peace on earth. Peace on earth, that's a nice statement, isn't it? We look at the world as it is today and we may well say to ourselves, when will there ever be peace on earth? Then when you come over to Simeon, he talks about something else. He talks about peace in death. Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. That's a lovely way to die, isn't it? To depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Anna, however, begins to talk to people. And the people that she talks to are, it says, those who look for redemption. And I wonder whether there's anyone in our meeting tonight who's looking for redemption. Big word there. I wonder what it means. He's looking for redemption. And finally, the Lord Jesus, as a boy of 12, says, Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And of course, the question that comes to our minds, as must have come to the mind of Mary and Joseph, what is the Father's business? Why was the Lord Jesus here? And of course, that is the whole basis of the gospel. Why was the Lord Jesus here? He was here to make all these things we've been reading possible, that there would be peace on earth, that one could depart this world in total peace and certainty, that one could have redemption, and that simply means to have your sins forgiven, to be saved by the grace of God. These are the things that the Lord Jesus came to do. I want to just look at them and think of what he did for us. First of all, let's think about what the angel said. It must have been interesting for those shepherds to try to work out what was being said, because what they heard was this, that there's born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. A Saviour. There was coming into the world a Saviour. And by saying Christ the Lord, he was saying the one who has been promised throughout the Bible, throughout those years before, the Saviour has arrived. What a tremendous thing that is. If we were to say that tonight, I wonder if you would appreciate the value of it. The Saviour has arrived in this world. Of course, that was 2,000 years ago. I wonder if you know him yet. The Saviour has arrived. And you know, they must have thought, I wonder who this Saviour is. And they were given an interesting instruction. Here's the instruction. Here, how you'll find him. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You know, if this world is ever to have peace, and of course the Lord Jesus will do this one day, but if anyone in this world is to have peace, it must be through the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder why he's called the Saviour. The idea of a Saviour immediately brings to our minds the fact that there is a need within us. A Saviour comes to rescue people who cannot do for themselves what they require. And if that is true in any other sphere, it certainly is in regard to our sin. Now, that is a difficult word, sin. I wonder if everyone here tonight is aware that you are a sinner. And we're not saying that in a harsh way. We're saying it because it applies to every individual in the world. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And until the matter of your sin is dealt with, you will never, ever know real peace. You may feel as though you're having a good time. You may feel as though you're spending your life in great excitement. But in reality, you can never know real peace while it remains true that you're a sinner whose sins have not been dealt with. That's a very solemn thing, isn't it? When you realise you're a sinner. What does it mean? It means that you have offended against God. Of course, quite before you did that, you were born into this world with a sinful nature, with a sinful propensity. You were a sinner by birth. We all were. And what we're learning here is that there came into the world someone who could save people, who could deal with this matter of sin, who could bring peace into the hearts of men and women, and will ultimately, as we've said, in a coming day, bring peace in the world. The only one who can do it. Men today try to bring peace into the world by war, and they use war as a method to peace, and it never works. The Lord Jesus came to die for sinners. We're going to speak about that, because that's the core of the gospel. He came to die for sinners. He came to bear the punishment for sin. He came to make it possible for those who had no peace to be at perfect peace. Being justified by faith, says the Scriptures, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want you tonight to see this. There is the possibility of you tonight, right where you are, coming into the peace that is being spoken of here because the Saviour has arrived. Keep that in mind. The Saviour has arrived. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful event that must have been at that point of time. Glory to God in the highest. Yes, that's what will happen in heaven. But on earth, peace. And that's what I want and all of us want for you in your heart tonight. And just be honest with yourself. Don't try to kid yourself at this point and pass these things. Let them float over the top of your head. The fact is that you need the Saviour if ever you're going to have peace. But let's just think about Simeon, because Simeon had a little bit more personal understanding about it. He saw the Lord Jesus just as a babe, and he realised it was revealed to him that he was seeing the Saviour. I wonder how this babe could be a Saviour. We have to learn about that. But as he looked at it, he said this. He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. In Scripture and in life in general, we see men and women coming to the point of death. And they all approach it in a different way. Not a very nice topic, is it? Not something we all like to think about. But do you know, apart from the coming of the Lord Jesus, we're all going that way. And it would be a good idea to think about it tonight. This man says, I can now die in peace, for I have seen thy salvation. And do you realise that there are many people in this hall tonight who could approach death with exactly the same satisfaction and peace? I can die in peace, for I have met the Saviour. Now, of course, when I met the Saviour, it was by simple faith when as a child I realised I needed a saviour and I trusted the Lord Jesus as my saviour. I met him. I didn't see him, but from the word of God I knew of him, and I left my salvation in his hands. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him as my saviour. And the one thing that appealed to me at that time was this: now I can live from day to day with peace, with satisfaction, with the assurance that everything is right with my soul. That's the kind of peace to have. The peace not only to live, but the peace to die. In the Bible we read on a number of occasions, a couple of occasions at least, of two people who died. You think of the rich man and the poor man. The rich man and Lazarus are like that. The rich man's name isn't mentioned, the poor man's name is. I wonder why. Because the rich man wasn't saved and the poor man was. And the Lord knows the name of every soul who's saved. He writes it in heaven. And so these two men live their lives in quite different ways, but they come to the point of death, and it says the rich man died. And you listen to this, because the Lord Jesus said it, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And I draw back and think, what can that possibly mean? But the man is in torment. The man, it is suffering. And it is real, because he says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue. I am tormented. It is a solemn thing to die without a saviour. It's a real thing to go out of time into eternity. The little portal may look the same for everyone, but what's on the other side is real. The rich man lift up his eyes in hell and torment. We want to tell you tonight how you can avoid that. The gospel is the good news, how you can avoid the judgment, because there's one who has borne the judgment. And we're going to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ bearing that judgment when he died on the cross. Because it says in the Bible that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a big problem, isn't it? You don't want to own you're a sinner tonight. That's why you can't seem to get salvation. That was the Pharisees' problem. Christ died for the ungodly. You're willing to be there tonight. If so, he died that you might be saved. And so this man says, I can die in peace. And the poor man died. He died too, you know. They all did. And it doesn't even mention his burial. But, you know, he was carried by the angels into a place of paradise in complete contentment. Why was that? Was it that rich men go to hell and poor men go to heaven? No, that's not what it is at all. Because when the rich man made appeal to someone to go back and tell his brothers that they wouldn't come there, if they don't believe the scriptures, there's nothing better for them than that. They wouldn't even believe if someone rose from the dead. You say, if someone rose from the dead, I'd believe everything, would you? Well, I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. He rose in triumph. He defeated death. He came forth in mighty power. They still didn't believe on him. They made up stories to cover it. Are you going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest miracle that can be done, could be done right here in our midst, and it wouldn't make any difference to your faith? If you don't believe the word of God, then you wouldn't believe anything, because this is God's final testimony to the truth of the gospel. There were two other men who faced death, one on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And one of them scorned the Lord Jesus. He thought of things only in a temporal sense. And he, like many others there, thought that if he was the Christ, let him prove it by saving himself and us. But that wasn't why he was there. He was there to die for you, by the way. He died for me. You know, Paul said, the Son of God loved me. Son of God, that's who he was. He loved me and gave himself for me. Peter looked at that cross as he wrote his epistle, and he thought about what he'd seen there, and he said he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The nation of Israel are going to look back as they recognise that they didn't see their Messiah for what he was, and they're going to say in that coming day, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And that second man on the cross looked at the Lord Jesus, and he trusted him. Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And he trusted the dying Saviour And therefore he must have had total confidence that that dying Saviour would live again and he would yet reign as a king, and he trusted him. And you've had all the privilege of knowing of his death, of reading the testimony of his resurrection, and still you haven't trusted him. What more do you want but God's word? This man says, I can now die in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He had met the Saviour. Wonderful thing to meet the Saviour. You can do that tonight, you know. Remember what the jailer said? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? The answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What a tremendous statement. Do you understand it tonight? If you're willing to bring your desperate need as a sinner, you'll have to own that first. That's what we're hearing. Repentance is necessary. You must come to the point of seeing you're a sinner. That seems to me, as I preach the gospel here and as I do often, I think about this. The biggest problem is that someone sitting here who doesn't want to know they're a sinner and is not willing to acknowledge their sinners. Remember being in a meeting once where there were a whole lot of people there of different kinds. There were the good neighbours of some of the believers, lovely people, upright living and all of that. And there were people who were right at the other end of the scale. And the simple comment I made was this: I don't know where to begin. There are people in this meeting who don't want to be told they're sinners, and there's other people who don't need to be told they're sinners. Where are you tonight? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter where you're from, what your background, how wonderfully nice and good your life is. I trust you do live a good life, but that's not salvation. You are a sinner and you need a saviour. Anna now comes onto the scene. She looks at the Lord Jesus Christ. She also recognises he's the saviour. And you know what? She talked to him, about him, to everyone who was looking for redemption. You're looking for redemption. What does the redemption mean? It means that you're looking for someone to pay the price you can't pay so that you can be in heaven. Do you want to be redeemed? Do you want to have someone to pay the price for you? Are you struggling through your life to earn some favour with God? Are you doing all the good deeds you can to try to build up an account for yourself? It will never work. For salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'll tell you what, heaven would not be heaven if we were walking the streets of heaven and people were saying, I got here because I was good. I got here because I paid money. I prayed prayers. Heaven isn't like that. Heaven is, he is worthy, for he was slain and has redeemed us by his blood. That's the story of everyone in heaven. Nothing to do with yourself. It's all about him. Heaven's not a self place. Heaven is Christ-centered. And so Anna says, if you want redemption, this is the person you'll have to know. If you want the price to be paid, this is the one you'll have to meet. And so she points them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what we're doing tonight? We're saying if you want a peace in your life, you'll have to get to know Christ. If you want peace as you die, you'll have to know Christ. If you want the price for your sin, the penalty paid for you, you'll have to come to Christ. Well, let's come to Christ. Let's come to this last one. Here is a boy of 12. He is beginning to move along that path that God has planned for him. And he says this, don't you understand I must be about my Father's business? And immediately we ask the question, what is the Father's business? What is it the Lord Jesus Christ came to do? Let's tell you what the Lord Jesus came to do. Listen to this verse. You'll recognize it, but think about it. God so loved the world. This is God. He's got a business to do. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was God's business. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're beginning to see God's business in this world? When the Lord Jesus came onto the public scene, John the Baptist saw him coming down the road and he said, look, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John knew what the business was. He knew that the Lord Jesus had come to deal with sin. And I'm glad to say it was my sin that he dealt with, and that my sin has all been removed because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. Here is the Lord saying, I must be about my Father's business. And do you know, he went to the cross with that in mind. It was sad, wasn't it, to see him taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. Was that all a miscarriage of things? No, that was the Father's business. He said that. He said he would die and rise again. He kept telling them that over and over. They couldn't understand it. But listen, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was the Father's business. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. And do you know what he said about that business? When he was on that cross, he cried these words, "It is finished." The business was done. The work of salvation was completed. He went down into death. I tell you what he did there. He defeated death, broke all its bands, rose triumphant from the dead. He went back to heaven, sat on the right hand of God. Why? The Father's business was done. I wonder if you're going to benefit from what God did in giving his Son to die on the cross. I wonder if you'll have peace in your life. I wonder if you'll have peace if you die, should that happen. Because if you trust the Saviour, you might just go to heaven without death. Wouldn't that be something? I trust that tonight all are looking for redemption, and you'll find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful for thy thoughtfulness and thy love. We're thankful for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that someone will trust him tonight because he's the only Saviour they can have. Father, we thank thee that he will always save anyone who trusts him. So we commend us to thee. Watch over us.